Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open,
my door's always open
to dreamers and friends.
Dreamers and friends.
Oh, when I'm attacked,
oh, oh, oh,
I protect and defend, because my name is America.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud News Network. Please go and visit our website. It is fabulous. A lot of new information there. Now we even have articles from the authors, the people who you are listening to, myself included. We try to give you more information. We don't want you to have information overload, but if you see things in writing, it usually registers more than just hearing. So we now have an ability to follow up. So visit AmericaOutLoud.news. Also, my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance, who I cannot talk enough about. Please get involved, folks. This is so important. And if you truly believe that children are our future and you do nothing about helping them, then you are destroying our future. And our children are learning nothing in school. They are learning to hate. They are learning to be self-indulgent. They are learning that they are the victims, and they are not learning anything that will help them in the future life. And they can't read, they can't write, they can't do math, and yet they're graduating and graduating high school. So as a former teacher, I cannot believe that I am saying this, but get your kids out of those public indoctrination clinics that masquerade as public schools. Go and visit the Alliance website, and that is the floridacitizensalliance.org. Check out our micro school. Get involved. You can become a mentor. Teach a child to read. Teach a child to do math. And most important, I have learned that teach a child to follow the scientific method. That's not even being taught anymore. And what a wonderful tool that was that I learned when I was in school. And I use it even today. And what is the scientific method? Well, we're very fortunate. We have John Droz on the show with me today. And he is a physicist who has written the most incredible newsletters and Substack. So please visit John's Substack. You will find a wealth of information. And that is where I learned that it's not just Florida that's not teaching the scientific method. None of our children are learning it throughout any of the schools that John has been in contact with. And to me, that is criminal. Because the best way to solve a problem is to find the scientific method, which was always cite your problem. What tools do you need to solve your problem? What method are you going to use to solve your problem? And then begin a series of methods to find the solution. And if you can find the solution, you have solved the problem. If you can't find the solution, then something is wrong. You don't continue doing the same thing over and over again. You find a different way to solve the problem. And the worst thing that I find is that our kids can't not even come up with consequences. They have no idea that every action that they take, not only does it solve a problem, but it also has consequences. And if the consequences are not worthwhile, then why go forward with what you are trying to do? And this is why I believe that our country is being run by affirmative action graduates who know nothing and can solve nothing and do nothing except harm us, because that's what they are being trained to do. John, thank you so much for joining me today. Please tell everyone where your Substack is so they can write it down and go and visit your Substack and your website.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate being on today. I'm always glad to talk to people who are trying to fix some of the situations we're dealing with here, which are challenging, to put it politely. My Substack is strictly about critical thinking, which is a key element that's missing from our schools and our society in general. So that's why I'm focused on it. So if you look up my name, either Google my name, John DRozy, or critical thinking, you should come across my Substack.
Oh, that is terrific. John, do you think I'm right? Are kids learning the scientific method? And I don't think they even understand what it is and that it's applied to everything in our life. If we apply it properly, wow, what an incredible path we would be working on. But by not even knowing it, not even being able to follow, not being able to question science, isn't that what science is all about?
Science is about asking questions. So scientists by nature are people who ask things like who, what, why, when, where, how, stuff like that. And that's a lot to do with critical thinking as well. As far as to answer your question, are you right? I'm a scientist here, so I'm constricted to being a detail person. So technically you're 95% right. Why I say that is that what happened here briefly is that around 2010, a group of progressives decided that they wanted to influence what was being taught in science throughout the United States. And they drew up two documents. One's called the Framework and the other's called NGSS, Next Generation Science Standards. And the gist of it is they put a lot of progressive ideology in these standards, including scrubbing the scientific method, a lot of other bad things too. So then they went around to every state and made a pitch to have that state, they went to their state board of education and made a pitch to have that state, each state, adopt this NGSS set of standards. As of today, 49 states have adopted this progressive set of science standards, 49. Now you say, well, who's the 50th? Well, interestingly, the 50th that chose not to adopt it is Florida, your favorite state. Actually, Florida is far better than all the rest of the states. Now, I say 48 because once I found out North Carolina did, where I'm at. So I'm a resident of North Carolina. So I said they're one of the people that had scrubbed the scientific method as well. So I said, I'm going to try to fix that. So I went to the Department of Education. They weren't receptive. I went to the State Board of Education. They were somewhat receptive. And the long and short of it was that after I spent a little while educating two of the members out of 18 on the State Board of Education about this problem, they had no knowledge about it. They were unaware of it, that they made an issue about it to DPI, Public Instruction. And DPI backed down last July and said that they would resume teaching the scientific method after abandoning it for 12 years. So well, this was a pretty significant success based on one person objecting, me. And so that makes it from 49 states to 48 that are now no longer teaching the scientific method. So that's where I said 95%.
Thank God for you, John, because we are in terrible times. Just listening to the policies that these people come up with governing science, it makes my head explode. And worst part of all of it is that they don't think that there are any consequences for what they're doing. And taking something as simple as the importance of CO2 in our atmosphere, they have made that the villain and they're trying to eliminate it. John, you're the scientist. What happens if we eliminate CO2? Is that going to change the climate? Will we have, what are they even striving for? A more even climate? What does that mean? I have no idea.
To begin with, most people don't know. So I'll ask you if you have an idea of what percentage of our atmosphere is carbon dioxide.
Well, that I know, and that's 0.035%, which is a minuscule amount, folks. Minuscule.
Yes, 0.04 approximately. Yes, so you're right, 0.035. So that's a tiny, tiny amount, a tiny, tiny amount. So out of, let's say, a swimming pool, that'd be like one glass of water amount, something like that.
Okay, so taking what you're saying, if I took a glass of hot water and I poured it into a cold swimming pool, according to them, that would make the swimming pool hot? How does that work?
Well, something like that. In their defense, they say, well, sometimes small amounts of certain things, poisons, for instance, can have a bad effect, and that's true. But this whole business, if they were really true about this, there's a lot of other things that would make more sense. But to me, the interesting thing is how this got started or who's really behind this. And in my opinion, the number one person that I would give credit for is Bill McKibben. You know him?
No, have
Well,
not heard.
he's the leading environmentalist on the planet.
Okay.
So, in other words, all environmental groups follow Bill McKibben by and large. So, the Sierra Club, people like that, they all follow Bill McKibben. He's their leader, informally, of course, but effectively. So, he's written several books. He graduated from Harvard, a left-wing person. He was the editor of the Harvard newspaper. His degree was in journalism. So the fact that he's now immersed in climate change, a very technical matter, is interesting because he has zero scientific credentials. This is
That is
typical.
very interesting because that's what they keep on screaming when we talk about it. What part of a scientist are you, and who are your experts? Well, their expert is not even a scientist.
That's right. So one of his books he wrote, he asked a very interesting question. I don't discuss this too often, but I'm telling it for you that you might find interesting. And that was, he said, the question that's most important to him is, are Americans happier today than they were, let's say, back in 1900, 125 years ago, let's say? Are we happier today than we were in 1900? So that's a rhetorical question, of course, but his answer in his book says, no, we're not. Okay, well, that's an opinion on his part because happiness is, of course, a hard thing to quantify. How do you quantify how 300 and some million people today, their level of happiness? I don't know. But I'm just telling you what his book said. So he said, okay, they're not happier today. So he says, why is that? So then he went on to speculate to say, I believe the reason is what he called modernity. He effectively was saying that our modern lifestyle is not designed to generate happiness. It's more materialism oriented, whatever. And by and large, there's actually some truth to that, that if you're a religious person, Judeo-Christian standards, whatever, you're told that materialism, and that kind of thing, having more cars, for instance, or a bigger house, isn't going to lead you to happiness. So that part is right, but he blames modernity for it rather than, let's say, blaming people for being less religious. And there is a tract that shows people are attending church less, things of that nature, so they have less religious background. I would say that would be a good explanation for them being less happy, but he says modernity. So then he says, well, what's modernity? He said, our modern lifestyle is based on one thing, and that is fossil fuels. Without fossil fuels, we wouldn't have the houses, the cars, all these gadgets, everything. No fossil fuels, we would have none of it. So he says, all right, fossil fuels is the bad guy. They're the one that has made modernity possible. And modernity is actually not a benefit to us. It's a liability. We're less happy. So then he knew that at that time, when he wrote this book here 30 years ago, that he couldn't just denigrate fossil fuels because they were too powerful. So he said, we have to look at an element of fossil fuels and demonize that. And that element that he picked was CO2.
Yeah, now it's beginning to make sense. I
So,
couldn't
one of the
figure out.
reasons he picked CO2 was because this is very much like COVID. You couldn't, let's say, for a COVID situation, you couldn't see the virus, right? So, you didn't know where it was. Well, with CO2, you can't see it either. So, he can demonize something you can't see. It's difficult to quantify, but he can say, look, this is a bad thing for us. We need to get rid of this. And then, when people say, well, okay, how do we get rid of CO2 or reduce CO2? Well, then he connects fossil fuels. Well, fossil fuels is one of the main sources of it. So if we reduce fossil fuels, which was his objective here, to then we will reduce CO2. So his agenda really is, from what I gather reading his material, his agenda is that he would like us to go back to an agrarian society. In other words, people live off their own land and things of that nature. Now, to do that, you'd have to get rid of an awful lot of people because that wouldn't be possible otherwise. So I'm just giving you a little background that you probably haven't heard before, but number one, Bill McKibben is considered the leading environmentalist in the entire planet. So, bar none. So, when he says something, or he gives a speech, or he writes a book, millions of people follow what he says. Millions of people. So, I'm just making this connection that not many people have made, that he has demonized CO2 here because he believes that CO2 has enabled modernity, and he thinks modernity is a bad thing because it's making us less happy.
So he
Think about it.
never looked at the fact that the propagandists who have been teaching over the years how they have to have more products and more products and more products and be better than their neighbor because their neighbor might have something that has no interplay in this. It's just CO2.
Yes, because it was harder for him to attack those people. Those are that, but that is part of the reason they attack capitalism. That's what they call capitalism, what you just described there. So yes, they're against that too. But their primary target is CO2.
Okay.
They're against this whole group. So they're against fossil fuels. They're against CO2. They're against modernity. They're against now you can see they've added all sorts of other things. I mean, at one point, women were a favored subgroup and they were pro women, but now they're against women. I mean, just look at some of the things that are happening in that, but that's another topic.
That is, thank you, because you made it make sense. I could not figure out why they would be going after CO2. And then when you tie all of that together with the fact that they now have to depopulate the planet, and CO2 is the most necessary for us to exist. So could you explain that?
Well, CO2 is an element of life, just like oxygen is an element of life. It's to say that it's a pollutant is a criminally incompetent and certainly unscientific statement, but we don't have real science. What we're dealing with in most cases that people see on TV or on the internet is actually political science. So I tell people that's what they should be paying attention to. There's a big difference between real science and political science. Political science is about advocating some political policy. Real science is about discovering the facts and the truth about the technical realities of our existence. So there's two very, very, very different things. The fact that they've given it a similar name, political science sounds like science, is I think representative of the type of dishonesty that we're faced with here by particularly people on the left. They have manipulated words here to a phenomenal length. One of my favorites is that I deal a lot with energy things. So, for instance, I hear people saying all the time things like a wind farm. And I said, please stop saying that phrase. That's a total dishonest characterization. There's nothing being farmed at all other than subsidies. But why they come up with that name is that they knew they were going to be putting industrial facilities into very rural areas. So they said, how do we get people to be open-minded or receptive to this industrial facility plopped down in a rural area? So they said, we're going to change the name and make it sound pastoral, make it sound benign, things of that nature here. And so that's the whole idea of a wind farm. A wind farm doesn't sound threatening. It doesn't sound like it's an industrial facility, but it's a complete fabricated distortion of what it is.
It certainly is. And as I drive through my rural area, because I live in rural Florida, I'm beginning to see solar farms, or so they're calling them, replacing farms where I used to see crops being farmed. I'm now seeing solar panels. So I wrote a letter and I asked Governor DeSantis what the solar panels taste like. Because that's what we're supposed to be eating instead of the food that grew on that land, as they are trying to create the food shortage so that they can ration our food, as they tell us we don't have any.
Well, you're right. Solar facilities, I don't call a farm, so it's solar facility would be an example of the name. Solar project, whatever. They don't make any more sense than wind does. I mean, when people take energy for granted is part of the problem. So, for instance, ask the average person to explain to you what happens when you throw the light switch on the wall. So tell me what happens there. 99% of people probably would not be able to. So they know that the average person is technically challenged. So that's why they can make all these type of claims and so forth here that the average person certainly won't even understand. So the whole thing is a charade here, unfortunately. But if you're going to add a new energy source, there's really three things that should be considered. One is its cost. Number two, I'm talking about the cost to the consumer or the user. Number two would be its reliability. And number three would be its environmental impact. Those are the three criteria. So if somebody came up to you and said, I've got a great source of energy, you'd say, okay, explain, show me the testing of it for those three things. How economical it is, how reliable it is, and how environmentally sensitive it is. And then you'd make a decision whether it makes sense or not. Well, they aren't doing any of that because the fact is, if they did that to wind energy, it would completely fail. If they did that to solar energy, it would fail on all three points as well. So that's what's happened. We have political science, which means legislators have decided that it's virtue signaling. They'll get some bonus points here, brownie points. Or saying, okay, I voted for a bill that enabled a gigawatt of solar facilities to be built or something of that nature, even though it's a total waste of money.
Yeah, and I have seen that firsthand. And now let's take a look back at the school because I believe that's why they don't teach math and economics and finance, because that's one question that never gets asked at any board meeting, any county meeting, which is always to me, how much is this going to cost? And how much is this going to impact us? And what do we have to give up? And is it reliable? And I never get answers. As a matter of fact, when I asked one of our school board superintendents at one time, how much does it cost to implement the government programs? And he told me, well, we get 5% of budget. And I said, that wasn't the question. I said, how much does it cost to implement 5% of the budget? And he said, well, nobody has ever asked me that before. It's about 30 or 40%. And I said, does that make any sense? So I never looked at it that way. And that's the problem because they don't teach any of the relevant things in school. So the kids leave school, they have no idea what economics is.
Well, my big focus, as I told you before, is that we need to be teaching critical thinking in schools because critical thinking applies across the board, whether it's relationships you're going to have, manage your own finance, who you're going to vote for, 100 things, your job. All these things depend on how good of a critical thinker you are, but specifically most schools, I'm not familiar with Florida, but almost all the other schools I'm familiar with who have bought into this NGSS, they specifically do not teach critical thinking. In fact, they teach the opposite.
How sad. How sad. What are we doing to our kids? What are we
Not
doing to our
well.
future?
Not well. Not good at all. Yes, so that's why I'm focusing on that because I don't see other people. I mean, for instance, school choice has become a popular issue. That's fine. I'm certainly in favor of school choice, but school choice is not the answer because the real question is what are our kids being taught when they're sitting there in the class? What's the curriculum and so forth? So, unfortunately, changing, let's say, from a low performing high school to a higher performing high school has no bearing on the curriculum. You're going to get the exact same curriculum. So the question is the curriculum good? And the answer is, if the state has adopted the NGSS, for instance, no, it isn't good. So going from a bad high school to a good high school, public to private, doesn't make any difference. You're still going to be subjected to the same curriculum. And that's the problem.
It certainly is. And I wrote many articles that said it's the curricula, stupid. It's not going to change unless we change the curricula. And unless you get your kids out of those indoctrination clinics, nothing is going to change. And you will be teaching you, your children will be growing up into adults that will be only capable of saying yes, master, because they won't be able to think. And it's a very sad thing. John, we're running out of time, and I would love you to come back because this is my favorite topic is education and things that we can do about it. I'm a solutions person, and I'd love you to come back and offer some solutions to us. And hopefully you'll be able to do that. But in the meantime, would you tell everyone where they can find you and what you're up to?
Okay. I have a few different websites. I have one on COVID. I have one on election integrity. I have one on energy. I have the Substack that we mentioned. I have a newsletter that comes out twice a month. It's free. Over 10,000 subscribers currently. Don't advertise it, so it's just word of mouth. So to get any of those things or to find out any of these things, they should send me an email. And my email address, you can post it on your site if you don't mind. But my email address is AAPRJohn, that's Apple, Apple, Peter, Robert, John, my name, at NorthNet, one word, NORTHNET.org. Send me an email.
Okay, folks, that's your homework. I'm the teacher. Get involved. You can't go anywhere if you don't get involved. If you sit on the sidelines, you can't play the game. You can't win if you're not in the game. How many times have we heard that? Well, stop sitting on the sidelines. Stop throwing socks at the TV. It's not going to help. You have to get involved. You have to get involved with your community. And most important, you've got to get involved with our kids. I have been speaking to kids in my community, and I am horrified not only at the way that they speak, because their grammar is horrific, but the lack of knowledge that they have, and that's lack of knowledge of life. And they're so busy punching their devices to get answers. Well, the devices are only as good as the people that program them. So, John, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It has been a pleasure, and hopefully you will come back again. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on AmericaOutloud.news with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud for 25% off.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back. Folks, we just had the opportunity to speak and listen to John Droz, and he was talking about science and the phoniness and the hoax of man-made climate change. The sad part is our kids are not being taught about the climate, and they're not being taught about anything. And one of the things they're not being taught about is health. And that's a very important issue. So if you haven't had a chance already, please go to the America Out Loud website, click on the Heal Right bars, and find out they are delicious. I've been using them, and I can't believe that it's, quote, a medicine, because it certainly doesn't taste like medicine, especially somebody like me that loves chocolate, and one of them is right up my alley. And they are totally terrific as far as helping your metabolic health. So check them out. That's real important. Getting back to what John was saying and what I have been saying all along is that our country is being run by affirmative action graduates. So make no mistake, this DEI garbage, which I call DIE garbage, is really exactly that. And it is designed to make sure that our kids are dummies, and that they accept everything that the government tells them, and that they are in a position that the government will run every aspect of their lives. But going along with that, it means that they had to lower the standards. And that, to me, is the travesty. Because once you take away a person's ability to think and ability to reason and ability to innovate and create, and you turn them into a drone, and then you lower the standards, what happens to the products? Well, the products are reduced as well. And I have a feeling, I've been doing a little digging on the ship that went into the bridge in Baltimore. First of all, it was very sad because all their yes, it was a sad thing to see, but all they're doing is talking about this is going to take years and years and years to fix. Why would it take years and years and years to fix? We're an innovative, creative group of people. We'll come up with a solution real fast. And it will take a year. And then we have to go back and say, well, do you want a builder to be your president, or do you want a destroyer to be your president? Donald Trump is a builder. Joe Biden is a destroyer. Which do you prefer? Well, when we talk about things like this, and I can only go so far because I believe something is amiss, but I was not sure what it was. So I turned to a very dear friend of mine, Ricky, and Ricky has incredible knowledge and has worked in so many different industries. He's been a public speaker since I've known him, but he also worked in Manhattan. He worked in the financial industry, and his knowledge is exemplary. So I asked Ricky if there was anything funny going on with that bridge, and boy, oh boy. So I want to share that with everybody. Ricky, thank you so much for joining me today. It's really great to hear from you.
Karen, thank you. The honor is mine. Absolutely. Before we start, I would like to say your last two articles that you put out were bombshells. And the manner in which you present it, the way you lay it out, the vast amount of information, and the way you roll it up is second to none. I truly
Thank you.
Appreciate your work and the stuff you put out. And I get it out to everybody because I've been working alongside of you for what? Since 2010? 2010.
Yes. Wow.
And we've been screaming from the highest mountains to wake up these zombies walking around. I call them zombies, not drones, because drones are a little smarter.
You might be right. Yes.
I mean, they start giving them liquid lobotomies with the Ritalin at 5, you know. Meanwhile, China, they're getting math and science and everything else at 5.
You're absolutely right. It is a travesty what we are doing to our kids.
Yeah, it's absolutely outrageous. And two topics that I think are of utmost importance. I'd like to discuss, try to do it quickly. I've just had another surgery. I'm a 9/11 survivor, and I've had many, many surgeries, and there's illnesses and cancers and what have you. And I just underwent another surgery, and I'm just recovering from it. And most people think that everything was paid for. No, we pay for everything. I always refer to that fund as just another money laundering operation. I'd like to first deal with this so-called, quote, accident, unquote, in Baltimore. And I'm very familiar with Baltimore, by the way. Very familiar. Some of my surgeries were done down in Baltimore related to my spine, 9/11. And I actually was there in 2019 in November to possibly undergo the one I recently had that was 13 hours long. But when I got there, it was so bad. Thank God I decided to come back and have my guy here do the surgery, because it was the right decision. I would have never gotten out of there because, as we all know, they rolled out the boogie virus in January. So I could have gotten stuck up there. So by the grace of God, I came back. I made the choice here, and it was the right choice. With no further ado, would you like to discuss the shipping?
Yes, because something doesn't compute. When I looked at the pictures and I looked what was going on, it almost looked like they were aiming at the bridge instead of trying to avoid it. And I would never go out and say anything like that, but it just, that's what it appeared to me. So please put my mind to rest and tell me I'm crazy.
You're not crazy. And two things jumped out at me and troubled me from the moment I watched the video showing the whole GPS replay of the incident. Now, most people don't know, just like airplanes and air traffic controllers, and you then have the satellite and the videos of all the highway lanes in the air for the planes and the routes of planes and the travel of planes and what altitudes they're at. It all shows on a screen so you can replay a plane's takeoff, flight, and landing. You can do the same with these merchant ships and cruise ships docking in a harbor and then leaving a dock in a harbor and then traveling through the channels in a harbor out to the open sea. Most people don't realize that most of your harbors, and I'll give you a good example of one. Well, actually two. You go to New Orleans and you have the Mississippi always dumping silt and dirt out there in the harbor. You have Mobile, Alabama, which is a lot of silt being washed out there. These harbors for their shipping ports have to be constantly dredged, and channels have to be dredged and dug out to a certain depth so that these ships can come in and out. And you'll always see the buoys out there with the green and the red, and it's directing them which side to come in and stay because of the depth that is necessary for certain ships. This merchant ship was a 93,000-ton merchant ship, had a capacity of 10,000 containers. It was carrying 4,700 containers at the time that the accident occurred. It was over 200 million pounds of weight / inertia as it hit the bridge. In this video, you are shown that map just like you are with planes, and it's showing you the channel and it's showing you the dot, which is the ship and how it's proceeding through those channels. Now, one, within harbors, within docks, at docks, as you depart from docks and you're in the channels and you're proceeding out to the channels, and then from the channels out of the harbor, out of the port, into the open sea, you are guided, accompanied, chaperoned by harbor pilot tugboat. Now, when you get up into sizes such as what we're dealing with here, 93,000 tons, and believe me, there's cruise ships that are bigger than this. This is a mid-range. It's a medium one, 10,000. They got them now, super merchant ships that are pushing 20,000, 18,000 containers on them. But with that said, you have the harbor and it's operated, and the tugboats, which are the harbor pilots, one on each side, will stay with this merchant ship and make sure she's going out through the channel, will guide, will assist in case anything ever goes wrong. Okay? And then it will bring it out to the open sea, to the open part of the harbor, where the ship now can proceed on, increase its speed, and continue on to the open sea or on to the next port where they're headed to drop off or pick up. Okay.
Ricky, the pilot on the tugboats then would have stayed with the container ship until they passed under
under the bridge. I'll get to that. Absolutely. Okay. I want to give good background here and to understand too with this merchant ship. It had just come from Elizabeth, New Jersey. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what you got to understand about Baltimore Harbor is, you know, people vary with the numbers they use, but my understanding is it's the ninth largest geographical harbor port in the U.S. That means land, water. And it is, some say 11th, some say 13th, regarding economic activity, which is measured in tonnage coming in and going out. The Baltimore port's the largest exporter of new vehicles being exported out of the country. Now, most people, when you say that, they're thinking American cars, and the number's around 750,000 vehicles. Now, what it means is it's not just American cars. A lot of cars are produced in our country now that are Japanese, Honda, Toyota, Mazda, Mitsubishi, okay? You have Volkswagen, BMW, Mercedes down in South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama has Hyundai. So their vehicles in these factories in the U.S., basically, they're being hauled out of the port, out of the country, and then you have ones coming in the country also. You also have massive amounts, the Domino Sugar Company, okay? You also have rice. You also have coal. Your coal mines in this country, all the coal's being shipped to China so they can burn it in their 1970s technology, polluting power plants, poisoning our atmosphere. But that's okay. That's China with the slave factories and all. But anyway, next to that bridge, if you get a good shot, you'll see a massive pile. That's the coal. Very large coal company. Their stock was down 10% because they can't get that coal out of there now. It's sitting there. And as you said earlier, it's got to be rebuilt. Well, this guy, like Barry Sotero / Barack Hussein Obama, they're destroyers. They're not builders. Okay. So with that said, this is going to create devastating economic effects, devastating financial effects, which should have showed up in the financial markets today, but didn't, which shows you that the markets are a complete fraud. But we'll save that for another day, because 80% of the trading daily on all three indices is not shares of stock. It is derivatives. It is puts, calls, okay, shorts, options, things of that nature. It's not stocks, okay? But anyway, getting back to this, the two things that jumped out at me before I dug in and started making some phone calls to people, and I'll leave it at that, people in the know, was that I noticed as it proceeded out the channel, one of the harbor pilot tugboats dropped off, and then it was down to one. And then that one dropped off. And then after it dropped off, the power went off on the ship. It was flashing. All of this occurring prior to, before getting to the bridge, which should have never happened. Mandatory protocol is to be escorted out under the bridge and to the open part of the harbor, to the sea. So you had two things going on. You had the harbor pilot tugboats breaking away. And then after they broke away, that's when the power went off. The power did not go off when those tugboats were guiding it. Because if that did, then they should have stayed with it. You see what I mean? Because their job is to guide it. If the power dies, something goes wrong, it goes awry, whatever. They're there to guide it. Number two, that ship was doing 8.5 knots, which I think is
too fast.
I don't feel comfortable with that speed approaching the bridge. That's number one. Number two, it takes a mile to slow that ship down at that speed. What are you doing in a channel? And you're not even out of the harbor under the bridge at 8.5 knots. So that didn't add up. The harbor pilot tugboats pulling away, one of them coming to the end while one left and the other one leaves. And then the power then goes off. And then it went directly into that pylon. Now, that type of architecture bridge, they're easy to take down. If you do your research, go back to 1980, the Sky Bridge in Tampa was taken down by a ship. These are not suspension bridges, like the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, like the George Washington Bridge in New York, like we're used to, Karen, or the Verrazano Bridge, okay, or Brooklyn Bridge, or Queensboro Bridge, or Throgs Neck Bridge, right?
Right.
Those are hard to knock down. You need bombs and thermite, like the Twin Towers. But anyway, so those things really stood out to me. Didn't sit right. I knew something was wrong. So then I made more phone calls. And I'd like to read to you what I have compiled for what has been told directly to me.
Oh, thank you for sharing.
Thank me and remember that if I end up at my funeral. Anyway.
One thing I know is that you are not going to commit suicide.
Right. You know me better than anybody, Karen, everything I've been through. And I never talk about that because you know what? They peed me off a long time ago. And you and your husband know that very well.
Yeah.
Nobody knows me as well. Very few know me as well as you guys do. With that said, here's my update. The ship was owned by the Chinese and registered in Singapore and operated under the Singapore flag. The CEO of the Chinese merchant shipping company that owned the ship is Angela Chow.
Oh, wow.
Angela Chow is the sister of Senator Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chow, and daughter of the Chinese billionaire and top Chinese CCP Politburo member that ran China's merchant shipping. He was their daddy. Oh, he's boy. Dead. And Angelo Chow was handed down the merchant shipping company. Now, I'm going to stop there and say something. I've been screaming for 20 years about this Mitch McConnell piece of excrement. He's the head of the Republican Party Senate. This guy is compromised. You could take it from there, and you can, because Karen, you know. Yes. So with that said, I'll leave it at that. Continue on. So,
no, you're absolutely right.
Listen to this.
Scary dude.
Gets better. Oh, I could tell you stories about him when he got thrown out of the army in 1967 after 17 days and court-martialed for what he was doing to the young recruit boys in the shower. And I'll leave it at that. That's my NSA, guys. But anyway, ready for this?
Yeah.
Angela Chow, the sister of McConnell's wife, Elaine Chow, and the daughter of the Chinese Politburo Communist CCP Politburo member, Angela Chow, was killed several weeks ago.
Yes.
Remember that in the news?
Absolutely. Sure do.
Okay, I'm telling you right here and now. This is definitely a PSYOP attack. Power on the ship was lost just prior to reaching the bridge and after the harbor pilot tugboats pulled away from the ship. Failure of these pilot tugboats to escort the ship through the channel completely under the bridge and out into open sea at 1:48 a.m., in my opinion, is not standard protocol. Now, this PSYOP attack, by whom? In my opinion, there are two possibilities. China or the USA deep state. I'm moved to see it as a USA deep state on behalf of the globalists to continue the destruction of our country. China already controls the West Coast ports because of Pelosi, Newsom, Feinstein, Waters, and the governors of Washington and Oregon states. You destroy a country's ports and take control of them. You control their commerce and infrastructure. You control everything coming in and going out, including their Navy.
Absolutely.
We're in the end game.
I keep telling you,
summer 2024. If you don't remember summer 2020, let me give you a little reminder. Antifa and BLM, which are fraudulent, deep state created organizations, BLM were two lesbian females. They did not represent the African community, American African community. Antifa, how do we want to describe it? Radical Bolshevik communists?
That's a good one. Yep, I would say that's good.
Okay, and they were allowed to burn down 37 cities without any recourse.
Yep, absolutely.
And your current vice president was actually the one that was providing the money for bail. Am I correct or am I wrong?
You are 100% correct, and put that on top of the illegals that are here that they're using to replace us, because that's really what they want to do. And now they're giving the illegals guns as they're taking away our guns. Think about this.
They don't have to have ID.
They don't have to have ID.
Yep. Now, let me say this, because I'm leading into summer 24. That's what I'm saying. If you think summer 2020 was bad, and I just reminded you, hopefully it clicked. You haven't seen anything yet. 2020 is badminton. What you're going to see, you got 50 million, at least 50 million military age males in this country from gangs, drug cartels. You got 10 division of military age Chinese men. You got Africans. You got Middle Eastern. You got people from countries, the people hate us. And I understand their hate because of what we've been doing to the civilians in those countries for the past 20 years. This whole thing is a PSYOP for the 20 years. This is Gladio operations. You kill them all, and then you bring them all here. And then you set them on us, and they can buy weapons without ID. We're paying for them all in 4 or 5-star hotels. And they're getting up to $90,000. How many Americans right now? I mean, the Americans are begging to be able to have a job at a fast food place for $20 an hour.
Right.
Listen, we're being rolled.
We are
and
being
20
rolled.
Years ago, I wish people listened to you. I wish they listened to me. Because if 9/11 didn't wake you up, if Benghazi didn't wake you up, and on and on and on.
Well, remember also what Obama said. He wanted a military that would answer to him.
Exactly.
And that's what he's building. And
a
make
domestic army.
Yep.
As strong as or stronger than our military. Now, let's remind
They're making
everyone.
Our military into mush.
Thank you. Say it.
I mean, our military is a disgrace.
Our new military is basically a UN military made up of foreigners with transvestite injected. You see, Karen, when you and I grew up, these were mentally deranged people and we were referred to as transvestites. Remember One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Absolutely.
How about dog Dog day afternoon.
Yeah.
See, the problem with people, and you and I have been telling them this for 20 years, and then I want to finish this up and get to BlackRock, but for 20 years, we have been telling every person on the radio, the so-called conservative talk show people, and people around us, we constantly tell them, stop regurgitating their sound bites. Stop using their words. They're not liberals. They are leftists. Stop saying transgender. They're transvestites with mental illness. Stop legitimizing their sound bites and their language, because you are facilitating it. Correct, Karen?
Absolutely. And we only have 2 minutes left, Ricky. So we're going to have you come back, because BlackRock is something that's going to require a lot longer than a 2-minute conversation.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for joining me. This has been a pleasure, Ricky. I really appreciate everything you're doing. And don't stop. Bring us more information and come back again. This is Karen Schoen. You've been listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Go FLCA, join a micro school, and give our kids a chance. And while you are there, folks, make sure that you participate in your local government. And when you're choosing your sheriff, make sure that they have at least read the Constitution and know what your rights are, because that's another conversation for next week. You can find me at KarenBShoen.com or on my Substack, KarenShoen.substack.com. Thank you all for listening. See you again next week. America. Yes, America.